All right, let's see if we can do a little experiment tonight. I'm going to make a pledge to you. I'm raising my hand. Well, you couldn't tell if I was or not because we're in the radio. Anyhow, just pretend I am. I want you to say this with me. I, insert name here, because of this 5-4 win, will endeavor to do, and or will endeavor to listen to half an hour of quality radio without a negative thought about the Toronto Blue Jays. Suspend your cynicism for a minute. I think we all get the context here. It is the Angels. It's August 23rd. At the end of the day, this result is essentially meaningless. But given everything we've seen and gone through this year, I defy you to tell me that you didn't have a great deal of fun if you were at the ballpark tonight, or if you were watching the game, or if you were listening to the game, watching the Blue Jays walk off the Angels, watching Addison Barger and Joey Loperfido go deep. A 5-4 Blue Jays win. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Now, I'm going to mention this again. 590-590 is a text line, by the way. I'm not going to get carried away with what Joey Loperfido does. But I'm going to say something that I've mentioned often since the trade deadline. And I just want to let it breathe a bit. The Toronto Blue Jays added Teoscar Hernandez in a deal with the Houston Astros. And at the time, nobody made a big deal about it. It was just kind of a move. Teoscar Hernandez was a guy who was on the cusp, pardon me, of a major league career with the Astros. Had a serious injury running into Jose Altuve. And nobody at that time, and I know because I was writing then and talking then, at that time we kind of looked at the trade and thought, yeah, that's okay. You know, I mean, why not? The hell, bring another outfielder in. Somebody can hit. Why not? I mean, maybe it works out. So I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know what Joey Loperfido is going to turn into. I don't know what Addison Barger is going to turn into. My sense is Joey Loperfido, as Dan Shulman said, Joey Loperfido is an interesting player, which is kind of baseball guy for there's an awful lot to like here. Again, don't know how it's going to turn out necessarily. But right now, there's an element of intrigue to this team that has not existed this season. They have homered in 12 consecutive games. And we talked about this on Blair and Barker today, going back to, I don't know the exact date in August, but going back to a certain date in August, maybe it was the 11th or 12th or something like that. The Blue Jays are among the league leaders, are at the top in home runs, average, and slug. They are a lot more fun to watch right now. And I understand that is not a replacement for the excitement, the tension, the expectations of a playoff race. This we did not expect to be here on August 23rd. But here we are, and in the very least, and I was at the game last night, did a quick tour of the stadium, the Rogers Center. I was meeting somebody just for a chat, talked to a couple of people, and they all said the same thing. They all said, I'm at least enjoying this. I'm not going to read too much into it, I'm not going to start giving these guys six-year contracts, but I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. I'm enjoying Ernie Clement. I'm enjoying Joey Loperfido. I'm enjoying Will Wagner. And I think if you were watching these games on TV and took a look at the camera shots of the dugout in recent nights, it's pretty clear that people in this team are finally starting to have a little fun. And you know what? At this stage of the year, given all we've talked about, I'm okay with that. I'm going to be very interested in seeing, because once the series with Anaheim is over, then it gets serious. Then you got the Red Sox. Right? Then you got the Phillies. You've got teams that are playing for something. You've got teams that are much better or have played much better than the Blue Jays this year. You have will have teams that have much better lineups than what the Blue Jays have faced recently. And it'll be fun to see if these young guys and this team can play spoiler. Like, I'm actually looking forward to that. And I can honestly tell you 2 weeks ago, I wasn't. 2 weeks ago, I was wondering, how the hell am I going to talk about this team given the way things were going, given the feeling around the team? I mean, I can get a little worked up about this. I like what I see. Not going to read too much into it. I'm not saying that this is enough to win the AL East next year. Bring this lineup back next year. You're probably going to finish in last place again. Let's be clear. But there's some pieces here. There are some left-handed hitters here that I haven't seen this organization have in a long, long time. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Brendan in Alberta, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Jeff. I just wanted to, like, you had already touched on Loperfido a little bit, but, I mean, 9 for his last 20 versus what he did over his first 35-ish at-bats with the Blue Jays. I mean, he's looked like he's turned the corner a little bit since he broke that long over he had. I'm not really sure what kind of adjustments they were making. I was wondering if you had heard anything from the Blue Jays about what they're trying to get him to do. It looks like he's laying off the high fastball a little bit more, and he's trying to attack pitches down and maybe inside a little bit more aggressively. And also, I wanted to harken back to your days on the Jeff Blair show and get your 20 cents on Summer McIntosh, who was there at the game today throwing out the first pitch. I was wondering if you think she's a shoo-in for the North Star Award this year.
Okay, I'll answer that. Yeah, as someone who has a vote, you know, in an Olympic year, it's generally going to be an Olympic athlete. The more interesting story is going to be, who are the finalists going to be? There's a lot of. We aren't even talking about like the hockey guys or anything like that. There are a lot of finalists. But yeah, she has to be. She has to be in the lead right now. And like I said, I mean, I've got a vote, and she'll be my first place vote. As far as Joey Loperfido goes, you know, we had John Schneider on today, asked him about Loperfido. And, you know, I think what the Blue Jays have done with him more than anything else, I don't know if they've necessarily made a mechanical adjustment, but I think one of the things John Schneider talked about was when you get a guy who, you know, comes over to your team from another organization, in an organization where he was considered to be a fairly highly touted prospect, before you start tinkering with things, I think even the Blue Jays, you know, we joke about the Blue Jays and their 130 hitting coaches and all this stuff and how, you know, busy work, right? All these people walking around, you know, the desire to quote unquote help or quote unquote work with somebody. I think what the Jays have done, and I know what the Jays did with this guy initially, was just see what he was. Kind of the same thing Pete Walker talked about with the new pitchers. Well, just see what you have before you go about suggesting you do this or we want you to do that. kind of let them tell you where they are. And I know Kevin Barker has made the point often. I mean, he talks to people, and I know he's made the point often that when Joey Loperfido first came up here, he kind of got the sense that Joey Loperfido was, it's not that he wasn't buying into what they were talking about, but I think he was kind of betwixt and between. What was I doing in Houston? What did they want me to do? What do I have to do here? And I think the Jays, to their credit, just said, look, let's just see what you are, and we'll start making some suggestions. And I think that by letting him do that, and by removing as much pressure as they possibly could from him, I think they just kind of let him sort of fall into, you know, being his natural self. I mean, this is Joey Loperfido. This was, you know, triples, doubles, homers. This is what he was about with Houston. This is what the Astros were saying. He's going to play good defense. Maybe not great defense, but he's going to play good defense. He knows how to run. He's fast. And there's some power there. So I think more than anything else, this is just a matter of an organization letting a guy be himself, standing back for a little bit. John in Mississauga, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Jeff. Good evening. I think my thunder's been stolen a little bit. What you were talking about 5 or 6 minutes ago, I couldn't agree more with. But my point was kind of about the Blue Jays minor league system, which gets bashed year after year. We don't have any prospects. There's nothing there to trade. There's, you know, maybe it's time, you know, that something like tonight shows that once in a while you should maybe try some of these guys and see what you have, as you just said, you know, 2 minutes ago. Because there's been a lot of stories about players that they don't show in AAA or AA, but when they get to the majors, something clicks and they start to play well. So even though they're not ranked, you know, as high prospects in Major League Baseball, at least try them. The Jays are famous for never relying on their minor system and constantly signing free agents. So that's what this game tonight reminded me of. By the way, it was a great game.
Yep. Thanks for the call. I mean, yeah, I mean, look, Vladdy and Bo are both from within this organization. The catchers are from within this organization. So it's not as if they've been completely bereft. I've always said this about minor league rankings. Right? To me, the value of a player, I know people get tired when I say this, but it's true. The value of a player, the value of a minor leaguer is what somebody else will trade you for him. That ultimately tells you the value of the player. I mean, it really doesn't, you know, with all due respect to the people who do those rankings, and they do put work in it, and you know, they certainly don't pull it out of their ass. I mean, they talk to people. They've got their own methodology. You know, some of them are former scouts or people who were, you know, involved in player development. But with all due respect to them, what is an organization's third-ranked prospect than their sixth-ranked prospect? What if I like the sixth-ranked prospect better than the third-ranked prospect because he profiles better for my organization? See what I'm saying? And that's why I don't get caught up in prospect rankings. You know, when J.P. Ricciardi was here, he used to catch grief because he said he rated organizations based on how many guys got to the majors. Didn't mean they're all stars, but his point was, look, you draft somebody to play in the major leagues. That's your ultimate goal when you pick these guys. And if your organization graduates guys to the majors, or if guys that you picked graduate to the majors, and it doesn't even have to be with your organization, well, I mean, that's kind of a success. You know, now we can get to have a discussion where, you know, if a guy's a first-round pick or the second pick overall, you probably have greater expectations for him than, you know, somebody who was picked in the 13th round or the 15th round or whatever. But my point is that it's something you have to keep in mind when you evaluate minor league systems. And, you know, I look at this lineup today, right? Addison Barger, homegrown guy. Broa, homegrown guy. Loperfido, another organization. Clement, another organization. Wagner, another organization. Kirk, homegrown guy. Horwitz, homegrown guy. Varsho, another organization. Springer, another organization. So, you know, when the Jays made all these moves at the trade deadline, it was interesting watching how the various ranking bodies adjusted the Jays' minor league rankings as a result of those trades. And what you really saw was just a reflection of how shallow the Jays' minor league system was. A lot of these guys were coming in and were, you know, I think Jake Bloss was the second or third ranked prospect in the organization after the deal for him. Some of these other guys, you know, kind of fit in the middle. And, you know, and the key thing to remember about the guys that we're seeing right now is they're not all going to be in the major league roster next year. We just know they're not. They can't be. I mean, as much fun as this is, you can't be running this lineup out on opening day and expecting to win in the AL East. But a lot of these guys are going to get a chance to impress other teams. And this, and, you know, for an organization that's got a lot of heavy lifting to do in the offseason, needs at least a couple of middle of the order hitters, needs to rework its bullpen, probably needs another catcher. Maybe not as much of an everyday guy as we thought, but another catcher. Some of these guys are going to end up being traded to get those commodities. And that's why what the Jays did at the trade deadline is so important. Because Aurelvis Martinez is suspended. You don't know what he is. Other teams don't know what he is. Ricky Tiedemann is hurt. He's undergoing Tommy John surgery. They got a couple of other guys, other pitchers who are undergoing Tommy John surgery. So they didn't have a lot in the minor league system, not just to bring up to the majors. They didn't have a lot to throw in a trade. So that's why these guys are so important. I mean, I look at a lot of these guys, and, you know, I think Ernie Clement's here next year. Leo Jimenez, to me, is, I mean, depending on what happens with Bo Bichette, he might be your shortstop of the future. He's young. He goes back to AAA next year. That's no problem. I think Loper Fido makes the team just because of his skill set and because of the left-handed bat. But, you know, you've got guys like Barger, Wagner. What is Will Wagner? You know, how does he fit in here? You know, if Spencer Horwitz is your everyday second baseman, where does Will Wagner go? So there are a lot of possibilities that are being created by what we've seen so far here. And, you know, if these guys, I mean, if Will Wagner continues to do what he's doing through to the end of September, I mean, he's a guy, he's going to be in other teams' radar. And that's part of why it was important for the Jays to do what they did at the trade deadline. And we haven't even talked about guys like McAdoo and Clase, you know, who are in the case of Clase, a guy who was on the cusp of the major leagues himself. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 5-4, the Blue Jays walk off the Los Angeles Angels. We'll take a break, go back to the phone lines. We'll hear from the skipper. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
With authority. That was great. You know, that was really cool. Kind of flipped the script from, you know, a couple of days ago where you get down early and you kind of peck away. Great swing from Joey, great at bat from Barge. You know, that was cool. It's fun. It's fun for me, the staff, the guys, the veteran guys. That was pretty cool.
You've been in a lot of walk-off clubhouses before. As much as you can tell us, what is different about a walk-off celebration with a lot of young guys like this?
Well, it's new for a lot of them. And again, I think that the veteran guys do a good job of enjoying it. You know, it's something that, you know, Barge will remember that. You know, Joey will remember that swing. Unbelievable night from Joey all around. But yeah, it was cool. You know, the guys had fun in there.
It's John Schneider, manager of the Blue Jays, after their 5-4 win over the Los Angeles Angels tonight at the Rogers Center. Addison Barger, Joey Loper-Fido going back-to-back. Barger's home run, the walk-off. Just pulled a 93-mile-an-hour fastball foul. Then gets an 89-mile-an-hour changeup, a hard changeup from Ronsey Contreras. And, you know, Ron Washington. I mean, you know what Ron Washington was thinking, the Angels manager. I mean, he goes with Ben Joyce in the eighth inning against the quote-unquote meat of the Blue Jays lineup, the middle of the lineup. And then, you know, goes to Ronsi Contreras in the ninth inning, and thinking that he's going to be facing 7, 8, 9. He probably, I'm sure, assumed that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was going to come up at some point. But, you know, if the Angels were playing for anything, I'm sure people would be questioning Ron Washington's decision making. But that to me was a little bit like what we've seen John Schneider do in the past, right? You take your best against what you think will be the best part of your opponent's lineup. And in this case, it didn't work out. It didn't work out for the Angels at all. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Sean in Calgary, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
How you doing tonight, my man?
Doing well, man. Doing very well. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I'll take that's, you know what? There's after, you know, 18 months of run prevention, I'm enjoying watching guys hit home runs.
That was super enjoyable. I enjoyed it on my balcony tonight. And just from beginning to end.
It was, you know what that was? I was thinking
absolute hope.
Yeah, Sean, I got to tell you, you know what I was thinking? That would have been a great game to be sitting outside having a beer to.
It was absolutely perfect, and I happened to score this one beginning to end, so it made it even sweeter to mark in those home runs. It was just lovely.
Let me ask you this. Of the young guys, I'm not going to call them young guys. Of the non-core guys, who has impressed you the most right now? Like, who's got you the most excited?
I'm pretty jazzed about Will Wagner, I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
Really excited. And I do have to quickly say, no controversy about bringing in the big guy in the eight for me.
No,
any
I'm
situation,
with you.
Even if it is the highest of leverages, just to get that out of the way.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I am excited about Lopezito and Wagner, and it's just, it's really nice, and I'd love having Bassett on the mound. I got to say, when he gives up four and you're sitting, it is very relaxing to have Chris Bassett coming out in the third inning, really.
No, you know what? Thanks for the call. It's, you think what Chris Bassett at 39 pitches in that second inning, starting out the inning by hitting Kevin Pillar, and it just went downhill from there. But the Jays pecked away. They pecked away, and I've got to tell you, seldom have I had a feeling in a Blue Jays game this year where I'm sitting there and it's 5-2, and I don't know why, but I'm saying to myself, I think they're going to win this game. Don't have any idea why I felt that way, but I had a feeling that they were going to put something together and win the game. And I have to admit, I thought it was just setting up for Vladdy to come off the bench and do something. Quite frankly, as much as it's fun watching Vladdy hit home runs, give me an Addison Barger walk off any day. I mean, I said this to somebody the other day. I really hope Addison Barger's good because I just like watching him. I mean, I admit, I like watching the hair. I like watching the helmet fly off. I like all that stuff. I want to be entertained a bit. And I find these guys entertaining. And you know what? As I said, if you look at the shots in the dugout during the game, I think the players find them entertaining too. Tony and Maple, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good, man.
Hey, I want to agree with you that it was great to watch tonight. Very entertaining. A lot of energy in that game. Hopefully it continues into the next few years and we get more of that. But Jeff, I got to say something.
Yep.
I was not disappointed, but a little bit surprised with you yesterday.
Okay.
Regarding Joey Votto,
mm-hmm,
and all the accolades he's been getting from you and everybody in the media, pretty much.
Right.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be. Because it happened quite a while ago. But Joey Votto, if I'm not mistaken, he made some comments basically not appreciating, and I'm putting it lightly, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And saying he couldn't care about Canada, baseball in Canada, and all of this sort of stuff, Jeff.
Yep.
And you know what? To me, as a Canadian, proud Canadian, and to see a guy who grew up here, became what he is from the benefit of Canada, not say something good. You know, I've been raised to say, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Why would he do that and then have the, if he did, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, he and, did.
Okay.
He did.
Why should we praise this guy?
A couple of reasons. One, he apologized. He didn't walk it back. He apologized, said what he said. If you remember, I think it was, he had a handwritten note, and it might have been Jamie Campbell who first tweeted out there, but he had a handwritten note where he apologized, said he was not in a great place at the time. You know, I've talked about Joey. Joey's a complicated guy. And if you talk to his teammates, you know, Joey changed as he got older. You know, there's this whole Joey wearing the Mounties outfit, Joey being mic'd up and being, you know, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky. That wasn't always the case. He was always an odd duck. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. He was always an odd duck. You know, he always marched to his own drummer. You know, I have people who know Joey Votto told me that there was no, and this is years ago. Like I'm talking 6, 7, 8 years ago. That just Joey Votto's got no interest in playing in Toronto. He just doesn't want to have anything to do with what would come with, you know, being in Toronto. I mean, he was happy to live in Cincinnati, happy to enjoy the kind of the, it's not that you're anonymous in Cincinnati because it's a big baseball town. But I think Joey felt that there was a little more privacy, that he would be able to enjoy things a little more in Cincinnati. And then, you know what? And they changed. And he apologized. And I have no problem with that. I really don't. I've had to apologize a lot in my life. I've said a ton of things I regret. I've written a ton of things that I regret. And I like to think that I know the difference between an apology and BS. Like, I think I've got pretty good BS detectors. And I really do think Joey Votto realized that what he said didn't come out the way he wanted it to. But instead of saying it didn't come out the way he wanted it to, he said, I just shouldn't have said it. And I give him credit for that. I am quite happy that he did not play a game for the Blue Jays. Now, he's a Cincinnati Red. I don't want to even think of Joey Votto in a Jays uniform. I just don't. Not going to put a bow. And I love what he said here. Not going to put a bow in his career. He's not a Blue Jay. He's a Toronto kid, but he's not a Blue Jay. He's never been a Blue Jay. You know, what did he say yesterday about, I'm really not, you know, I'm not going to wear a Blue Jays uniform and take away an at-bat from somebody else's the organization. I mean, I completely get that. I give him credit for doing that. You know, I still don't understand what the hell the Blue Jays were thinking, but I mean, you know, that's just one of a number of things they've done that I don't understand. And I'm sure there'll be more to come because the season isn't over yet. But no, I give Joey Votto credit for the way he handled that situation. And as I said, I'm glad it ended without him playing for the Blue Jays. He's not a Blue Jay. He never was a Blue Jay. He never should have been a Blue Jay. He's always a Red. That is it for us tonight. Again, as always, thanks so much for joining us. The Blue Jays have walked off the Los Angeles Angels. Thank you very much for joining us on Blue Jays Baseball. As always, brought to you by your local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Saint-Jérôme and Saint-Eustache, Quebec. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.